Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the chairs.
Thank you. Good evening. Blessings to everybody, and I hope you're all having a good, I guess you could say, beginning of winter or whatever time of the season it is. But pretty nice day today over here. It's getting a little bit nippier now. But anyway, I was thinking about how women always say, "Oh, I just love a man in uniform." They're referring to a cop or, you know, someone's uniform. When I was thinking, they love a man in costume, you know. All it is racist costume, you know. And those uniforms are all racist costumes. Anyway, looks like Thomas is here, so I'll let him lead us off in a good Lakota prayer and some greetings from Toshi. Toshi.
Aho. Aho, what's going on?
Nope. I'm waiting for you.
All right.
Right on. Well, stay. So what's happening over there? How you doing?
We're doing all right. Me and Larry's sitting here just joining your show here. See what's going on tonight.
What do you think about they say love a man in uniform. They mean they love a man in costume.
You know, they could love all the uniforms.
Racist American costumes they wear. Those are just costumes.
The oppressors' uniforms. You know, people don't think about that. You know, these women, they ought to get that out of their heads. You know, because especially Indian women, you know, or women that are from this land. You know, they ought to think about how those uniforms killed their ancestors, you know. How could they love something like that? We're still dealing with it today. Look at these boarding schools, all the bodies they're finding, you know. And then they say something like that. To me, kind of shames me out when they say stuff like that, you know. Well, you know, it's not cool at all, you know. It's crazy how they worship an oppressor's uniform, you know. Shit, those are the clothes that they wore with killing your ancestors, you know.
The oppressor's costume.
Yeah, that's what
it is. The costume they wear, you know. I mean, nobody walks around in public dressed like that, you know. You know? That's a costume. Anyway, I was reading where they said death of the Bering Strait theory, you know. You know, about saying our people came across the Bering Strait. Washichu, every 10 years they come up with a new finding, you know. And now they decided that one ain't working, so they're saying we must have came from some other way.
You know, that's why they studied the Washichu people, and they're living proof. They come from monkeys, you know what I mean? We ain't, you know. We come from the Wakia, you know, and we've been here for, like I say, thousands of years, and our history goes back that far, the beginning of time.
Yeah,
and like I said, there's all these think of something for these natives to think about. You know, all these churches, all these things, We're the only people that still use the four elements Vakhantchanka gave to us. The air, the water, fire, and breath, you know, those are the, think about that.
And the land.
We're the only ones. The rock, you know, is, represents the earth. See? We're the only people that still use the four elements to pray with in a sweat lodge. We're only people, you know, and these Vashichus, look at where they go to pray. You know, they have these big old churches sitting on empty, and there's all these homeless people. And yet they don't open their doors for those homeless people to go and have a roof over their head. Even if it's 100 below outside, they still don't house it, you know. Oh, that's the house of God, you know. If it's the house of God, let these people use it, you know. But it's not that way at the Washichu, you know. That's his hustle house is what it is, you know. He's going to, you know, prostitute that book, that fake book. Is what he's going to do. You know, that's a whorehouse to me, that where he calls all these people to con them out of money. That's what it is, you know, pay to pray.
You know, this preacher said, you know, the Washichu, they're always talking about the second coming of Christ. And this Washichu said, Christ haven't showed up for his second coming yet because people ain't donating enough money to the churches.
That's a good one. That's a good one, man.
If they want Christ to come, they need to donate some more money, you know. You know, it's kind of it's a trip how their brain works. But
yeah.
You know, their brain, like those people, like 500-600 years ago, they thought the world was flat.
Yeah.
But those are the same people that run this country, you know?
Yeah.
And they take credit for everything that's happening, you know? They say, oh, this country's great. We made it great. They didn't make nothing great. You know, what makes this country and other countries around the world, what makes things happen? Is the people, you know, the people, you know, like our tribe. Our tribe, the people is what makes this happen, and the tribal leaders don't do nothing. They just sit around. As a matter of fact, they hinder progress. You know, they hinder us from doing things. They hinder us from having land. They hinder us from having homes. They hinder us from having everything, you know.
Yep.
I mean, look at just to get a couple grand off them, and now they act like they really helped us out, you know. But they should be giving us, you know, we should be getting $2,000 a week just for being Lakota, you know. And then some. We should be millionaires, all of us, you know. But, you know, tribal leaders, I was looking at them. Man, if you're driving down the road, they come, you can tell they're in tribe or BIA. They got nice pickups, nice cars. Yep. And they come up, if you're driving too slow, they get behind you and dog you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because they think they're doing damn good, you know? But they're just another Indian, you know. And sure, they might have more propane than me, but they're sorry ass Indians, you know. Because nobody gives a crap about them. Maybe their own kids do, but the people don't, you know. The people don't. I remember one time I picked up an old guy coming off right there by Wounded Knee walking. I gave him a ride to White Clay. He got his check. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I always see you. He said, you have a nice van, he told me. He said, I always see you with kids in here. I see you, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
And he said, you pick me up, you know, and all this stuff. And he said, and he talked about some guys, you know, some leader, I won't mention their name, but he said, you know, so-and-so got a nice truck, and so-and-so, he got a nice car, and so-and-so, he got a nice van, and so-and-so, they got, but they never pick us up. You know, they're saying that he was talking about they never, you know, they don't help the people out, you know?
Yep.
So I was tripping on that, you know, how it is, you know, that people don't help their own kind. I mean, I'm having trouble. If I see someone, I'll try and give them a ride right now. But right now is a dangerous time. Like I mentioned before, even picking up women is dangerous, you know. It's better, to, you know, because this they're trying to be Washichu and this, you know, accuse you of stuff. Yep. So better not get accused. Don't even pick them up. Or you could pick up some guy. And I picked up a guy one time. And we pulled into the cop office at Porcupine, and here the cops are there. I seen him bend over, and he said, hey, I'll catch you later, and he got out. And I seen him acting funny, so I left, and here he stashed some weed under my seat because the cops scared him. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. So you know what I did? I drove down to his house, and he wasn't there. So I told his woman, I said, here, Tony gave me this, you know.
Yeah,
I said, you tell him this, you tell him I ain't never letting him ride my car again, parking this stuff in my car.
Yeah,
and she just looked at it and I left, you know. You know, and I never did help that guy out again, you know.
You know, what if they pulled you over? You know what I mean? And you not knowing it. You know, that's the thing. He was covering his ass without even thinking about you and what you was doing for him. You know, there's no respect, you know. You don't treat somebody that's giving you a ride so you don't have to walk. Something like that, you know, that's not cool at all, man. I mean, you know, he didn't even think about it. He's inconsiderate, you know, thinking about himself, you know.
Yeah, he was. Now I could have got busted, and that was you know, some years back when pot was still a big felony. You know, get busted with pot, you was going to prison. You know, but they do stuff like that. You know, people. You know, so you can't trust nobody. But the thing is, you know, tribal leaders, they don't help nobody out. They only look out for their own house. They all got full tanks of propane, you know, and they gave everybody a check, you know, but they probably got triple of that check. They probably schemed some, you know, they probably got
they got way more than what they're giving you. You know, that's what I was telling you. We figured it out. I was figuring it up one time, but the money they got, they could have gave every one of the enrolled members 30,000 and still had 126 million left. You know, so that tells you, you know, like that's what I was saying. These Washita, I don't know what Henny and them are doing about it. These Washita dudes are getting $3,500. We're getting $2,000, and then their calves and cows are probably $200-$300 a head. You know, and you know, so you know, me myself, I felt bad. She was gonna, if that was the case, I should have included my Hakita tribe out there. You know, my dogs with Hakita out there. You know, and you know, maybe I would have been, you know, in the bank. But you know, this is the stuff that they do. You know, they take care of themselves. Then they do these things for these Washitas to make themselves look good, thinking that Washita is gonna treat you good. She did shit on you quicker than anything overland. You know, that's the thing.
You ever go down a tribal leader's house?
Yeah.
Man, that tribal leader house got about 10 cars in the driveway, got motorcycles, got fishing boats, you know? And the kids got fancy playground stuff all around, you know? Swimming pools,
quads,
trampolines, you know?
Quads, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like I was saying, with that kind of, with the kind of money they're making and the hustles on the side, you know, it belongs, the money belongs to the people that they're using to do that. They're, you know, they don't care about anybody else. They're set up just like the Washitu. You know, I wrote something up about that and then I put it out there, but I don't know, people just don't think, you know, that this 34 system doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the BIA, the Washitu, see? And they're happy with these councilmen doing that because they control it, see? And that's what I was saying. Russell Means is the only person that I know ran 3 times for tribal president, won twice, lost once, but never served a day as president of the Oglala Sioux tribe. That alone ought to tell you something, you know? Then they say he's a controversial figure. Yeah.
It's a good thing you bring that up because, you know, one of the reasons why they said he couldn't get in was because he was an ex-felon. And you know, why was he an ex-felon? He was an ex-felon because he was fighting for the people, you know?
Yep.
Got locked up fighting for the people, you know? He wasn't an ex-felon for nothing. He was an ex-felon for fighting for the people, you know, Custer, Wounded Knee, and other stuff, you know. And
you know,
that's why he is an ex-felon. But, he's an ex-felon. He can't run for office, you know.
That's the excuse they use. But look at Jim Bickrell. Gets out, invests in all kinds of money, comes out and is elected a councilman again, you know. And so what does that tell you? You know, it's – you know, I knew Russell would never get in there because of the BIA, see. That was the reason why. They control that. It don't belong to us Lakotas. It don't, you know, our system is, you know, these chiefs. There's a system that we have, and we still use it today. But people say, well, how do you use this? How do we go about it? It's there. All they got, they live it every day, but they don't even understand it, see. They try to be Washitu, and they overthink everything, you know. But that's, you know, it's there. Like Leonard Crowdog, he was a chief. How many people went to him to get help? Think about that, you know. Is that what you call a chief? Yeah, you know. Long ago, that's what they were. They helped with Sitting Bull, you know. All these people that were chiefs, they were medicine men. They had that communication because they loved their people. And these people were born.
And all year long, you know, like Leonard lived Unchika. He lived in an old trailer house, drove an old beat-up ride with a spare tire on the top. You know, his kids live all Unchika, you know. But the people that use his name, they get big-time money. Like one person said, I was at Chief Leonard Crowdog's funeral and I blew my motor so she had to go fund me because just using Crowdog's name, since she went there, they should help her out, you know.
And
you know, you go down to Crowdog's and see his kids, they're living in Unchika. Two is living in tents till just a while back. They probably, it's getting cold, but you know, they're living some were living inside his cook shack, you know.
Damn.
After, you know, they live Unchika, Leonard's kids. And you know, nobody's out there caring about them, but they sure like to fly his name around, you know. And you know, people do that. You know, they go around using somebody's name and driving nice cars and, you know, having all this and that, you know. But Leonard, I see him all year long driving the old ride or he used to live in a trailer house. When he got Kuja, he stayed up in Rapid. He got that house up there in Lakota Homes. But
yeah.
Before that, he never used to flash around, you know?
Yeah.
And even at Sundance, when he went out in the circle, he just wore his hip and the feather, and that was it. And he'd be leading the Sundancers out. but all these guys behind him having big wah-pahs and even wearing sunglasses in the ulster, you know, dancing behind him, you know. Big, fancy everything, you know, and trying to look cool. Well, that's, what kind of chief stands there with sunglasses on, you know?
Yeah.
Wearing sunglasses, you know, it's looking cool, you know, with the wapa and all the nice stuff with sunglasses, you know, and you know, and you know, it's crazy. The image that people want to have, they want to have a free image, but they don't want to earn it, and they don't want to help the people out. All those people with those wapahas on should be helping our people out. Shit, we shouldn't be out freezing and struggling around, you know, but
you know,
they only,
you know,
help.
That goes back to what I was saying. We're the richest when it comes to land, but yet the Washitu figure a way to rip. You know, the tribal council gets some kind of lease money from these from the state. They never tell the people this. But there's some kind of agreement that they have. I don't know. There's some other people talked about it. We discussed this before. But they get the tribes get some kind of lease money from the state and all the people, the population. And these tribal councils get that. But they never tell the people what they do with it. You know? So, there's a lot of questions for these councilmen and how they're getting rich. And us guys, we're living real unshika. You know, that's, to me, when I start questioning these councilmen, they get mad. You know, then after that, they you know how it goes, rumor mill. You know, they put a name on you. They you're the worst person there is, and they convince everybody else that you're that. You know, that's how these councilmen, these greedy people sitting in there, that's how they operate. You know. They don't operate honestly. And when somebody starts speaking the truth, he's trying to destroy us all. I mean, all these rumors start flying around, you know. They put a lot of hate on you, you know. And it's not that way at all. But yet, they don't want to answer that simple question. What are you doing for the people, you know? That's the question you're basically asking them. And they make it a big deal to condemn you. That's how these tribal councils and the BIA love
on
that.
The Navajo res, and even our res, there's people that don't even have water, you know?
Yep.
But their tribal government sure like to fly the U.S. flag, you know?
Yep.
And you see people crying, saying, yeah, we need water and all that. But look on their page, they're flying the U.S. flag. You know, if you're going to fly out the U.S. flag and you're going to be all patriotic American, then don't be crying around because they don't want to help you out. That's just the way it is. They're not going to help you out because you're Indian. I don't care how much, how high you fly that American flag, how high, how much you stand in their voting lines, or what kind of suit or costume you put on for them. You're just another Indian to them, you know.
Yep.
And you know, that's why there's no water in Navajo res, you know. But yet you go over there, man, they're the most patriotic American tribe. Hate to say that, you know. But but you know, I see them, you know, just like one of them Sundance with us. And he was talking about, yeah, I fought for you guys in freedom. I was a Marine, you know. All that, you know, you never walk in my shoes, you know, but this guy is a Sundancer and his people don't even have water. You know, his people are struggling over there. They have the biggest AIDS crisis, biggest COVID problems. And he's over there talking about, he's a Marine and he fought for the people, you know, but our people are suffering, you know, they ain't coming over here helping us out or nothing. You can't even get the tribe to fix a pothole on the road. They shouldn't even put these blacktop roads on the res if they're not going to fix them, you know. Just leave them dirt roads like they were before. They was all right, you know?
You know, that's the thing, you know, like me and you, when we talk about this, you know, a lot of these guys, oh, I'm a veteran. I'm this, I'm that, you know? But what the thing that they refuse to look at is what has the government done for you, you know, or your people? They're still stealing your land. They're still treating your people like shit. And that's what he fought for? You know, come on, you know, straighten your head out. What's wrong with you, you know? Is that what you joined the United States government to do this to us? You know, that's a question you should be asking yourself instead of trying to fly that rag, you know? If anything else, these tribes, these Oglala Lakota tribes, they ought to be flying the Four Directions flag. That's our flag. We've had that since time. Leonard Krodox, every one of these medicine men will tell you, those colors were ours from the beginning of time. And yet, they don't want to fly that. Then when we fly some of our very own people. Oh, you guys shouldn't fly that. To me, that's shameful. That represents the American Indian. No, it does not. We've had those colors. What do you use when you go home, Brecha? You see what I'm saying? And then these people want to make a big deal about not flying that flag. They call it an AIM flag. That's not the AIM flag. That's ours. Those were our colors, our six directions from the beginning of time. That belongs to us, not that rag that these Washichas put out there. But yet they'd rather argue with you about this Washichu rag than what belongs to us. And how proud they are that they went over and killed some yellow people or some black people or some brown people in the Middle East. They're proud to say, oh, I killed them. You know, I did that for you. No, they didn't do it for me. They're still stealing our land. They're still taking away our rights. They're still stealing from us. And yet these guys want to be all proud that they did that. To me, they're just like that Calvary, you know. Those are the people that did that to them, you know. But why are they so damn proud of these rags? I'm American. Well, go be American, you know. Put your Indian aside if that's the case. You know, don't claim Indian, you know. That's the problem with us. Then we have all these councilmen doing the same damn thing. You go up to a tribal building, there's a goddamn U.S. flag flying there, man. It's shameful as hell to me, you know. But
bikers, these Indian bikers, they fly the American flag on their back seat just like Washichu. These Indian bikers.
You know, instead of flying our colors, what's ours? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's one guy over here. He had a staff on his. I like that, you know.
See, that because the Wapaha, that's ours, you know. And that's what the so-called flag song, that's what that's about, is that Wapaha, you know. That's what that, and people always say, oh, that's a flag song. No, listen to the lyrics. Listen to the words in that song, and it'll tell you that that Wapaha, what God gave us, is what they're going to war for, so the future generations could live. They didn't say nothing about a flag. They didn't say nothing about rags. They talked about that Wahukiza. That's what it was. See, and yet these people have this idea. Oh, it's a flag song. No, that's putting it the Washichu way, you could say, you know, but it falls short of what that song is really about. You know, that's the thing, see. And they always use that excuse. Well, why did they make a song about that, you know? And me, myself, if they understood the words to that song, it has nothing, there is nothing in there that says anything about that American flag. Nothing. It said the people that own that American flag borrowed me, so I'm going to war because of this Wapaha, with the feathers on it, because the Washita barred me to go to war. That's what it means, see? And all of these people Oh, but they made a song about him. That's wrong. They don't even know Lakota. They don't know how to speak Lakota if they don't understand that song. See? And I don't know why they named it a flag song, you know? My mom used to say it was the Akichita song, the veteran song. The veterans that went to war, she said that song was for them. Because that's what happened was the president of the United States barred these men to go fight a war, see? That's what it's, that's a story it's telling you. It has nothing to do with that rag that's flying, you know? But yet, a lot of these guys want to argue about and stuff. Those are the people that are treating us the way we are being treated today. But yet, they're so damn proud of that, you know? Why? You know, what is it? What's wrong with our people, you know? There's something wrong there. And I'll probably catch a lot of heat for saying this, but I don't care. It don't bother me, you know? Because I am who I am. I'm Lakota and I'm a die Lakota. You know, I'm no Washita.
Yeah.
And the way they treated me through boarding school, through, you know, threatening my mother and father with jail time if I didn't go to school and torturing me in school at a Catholic school. And I made it this far, you know, fighting those SOBs, you know, and me myself. There's nothing to be proud of what they taught me. And what they did to me, and what they're still doing to me to this day. How come we are the poorest people? We're supposed to be richer now because of our land, and the lands they steal. They figure out any way to steal that land. Oh, we bought it from the French. We bought it from the Japanese. We bought it from this guy. You know, there's a white man goes all the way to the Supreme Court for a lot. Just a lot. Well, man, to prove that.
What about that guy that sold a cave with cave art on it? You know,
those pictographs in there. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. How in the heck is that his when he knows that the Indians did this? It belongs to the natives. It belongs to the people of that area. But what gives him the right to sell that? Who gave it to him? I'm damn sure not a Native American or a person that's from the... I hate that word Native American, too, you know that.
How can you be Native and be American at the same time?
Yeah, that's, you know, but that's how these guys associate themselves with these, you know, whatever the heck. And me, myself, I hate that word. That's why... People get mad even then when I say Lakota, but to me, when I'm speaking of Indian people, I still put Lakota in there, and that's all of them combined, and all of them put together.
Well,
but
you know,
I describe people that way.
Yeah, people should understand that. And people, there's a lot of people that don't know what tribe they are, so they say, oh, I'm indigenous, you know, or I'm Native American, you know, or, you know. And, you know, our them up in Canada, they say, I'm Aboriginal.
We've been down under.
Makes you sound like you're naked running around when you say that stuff, you know. Like you're naked people running around, you know. And, you know, it's people should try to learn what they, you know, their tribe or what, you know, like, you know, don't say,
where you come from?
You know, say I'm Apache or say I'm this or whatever, you know, or, you know, but I don't know. Those kind of, that's English language, indigenous, you know, Native American, you know, and, those words don't give you any kind of justice, you know. But they get mad if you say you're Indian, you know?
Yep.
Well, Indians, just like indigenous or Native American or whatever, we just, you know? And we weren't called Indians because we were from India either, you know? India, you know, people from India just barely started being India in 1860-something, you know? They were Hindustan, you know?
Yep.
And, but, you know, just like there's a sign in Palm Springs that says, you're on Indian land.
Yeah.
And a bunch of Indians said they should change that. We're not in India, you know. Some Indians said that. But, you know, the white man knows us as Indian. The white man knows us as Indian. So when you say you're on Indian land, you're telling him you're on our land because he knows you as Indian. He don't know you as indigenous. He don't know you as Native American. He knows you as an Indian, you know? And that's why the American Indian movement is called Indian.
American Indian,
you know? Because the white man knows us as Indian. You know, that's why they call us Sioux Indians and all that, you know? That's how they know us, you know? If you try to change that up on them, you know, they don't know what the hell you're talking about. So I like that big sign over there in Palm Springs. You're on Indian land. It's letting them know this is whatever tribe. It's native land or indigenous land or like over here we say you're on Lakota land. We say you're on Lakota land, you know?
I
tell you something. I tell you something, Toshi. The other day I went to Rapid City, you know? I went up there with the tail wagon. Ain't going to tell you why.
I think I know why already.
I got something in the mail. So everything was looking pretty to me, you know?
There you go,
everything. Even my worst Lakota enemy was looking beautiful that day, you know.
There you go.
And
there you go.
You know, but I went up to Rapid City, you know, to kind of little splurge.
Yeah.
And man, it must have been Washichu Day. I went in Golden Corral, and Indians in there. All kinds of Washichu with cowboy hats, funky looking dudes too, you know. All in there, and I was thinking, damn, you know, I hope I don't get sick being in here. You know, see, we chucked down and we headed out right away. We didn't even hang out there, you know. You know, got the hell out of there, and then went in Walmart, and the Walmart was the same way, nothing but Washichu all over the place in the parking lot. You know, and driving down the road, every car at the red light, look in there, was a Washichu, man. They were all over the place. Man, I said, damn, stop at the gas station, Washichu. Man, so I headed out of town, you know, and man, you know, and I got this truck, you know, and it didn't have license plates on it. So I was all paranoid of the cops going down 44, you know. But finally, I made it to the res, and the first thing on the res was that COVID inspection station, you know? I pulled up there, and there's some raggedy-ass Lakotas. I almost jumped out and hugged them up, you know? I was so happy to see my own people again. I was all happy. Hey, well, stay, you know, it was really, you know... You know, there's
you mean,
where you come, where are you going? Going back to Seechonghu land, you know? right on, you know. It was really good to see some Lakotas there, you know, after that whole being in a trench of Washichu all day, you know. See, my heart even slowed down to a mellow beat, you know, and you know. My butt loosened up a little bit, you know.
Quit
wasn't biting the seat no more. Was happy to see those Indians. When I seen them, I knew everything was cool all the way home, you know. But man, you never realize how happy we are to see our own people when you're out in that kind of a world, you know. Because them Washichu are some, they like to stare, you know, their nose. They put their finger on one nostril and blow their nose, you know, and blow it right in front of everybody and then wipe a big, long, stringy snot off them and keep talking, you know.
Yeah.
And then one of them farting at the salad bar. You know,
damn.
You know,
yeah.
And Man, they got all kinds of strange habits. And they call us savages, you know? You know,
yeah.
My people ain't going to be trying to fart at the salad bar. They're trying to hold it in, you know?
Yeah. They go in the toilet, you know, or get away from people, you know?
Or kind of let it go out silently someplace else, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of.
Our people got
somewhere.
Some class,
no
you know?
Traffic.
Yeah.
Go around the corner where there's no traffic and you know.
But those guys, man, right in front of anybody, they don't care. You know?
Yeah.
I said, damn man. You know, so anyway, I was sure happy to get back on the res, you know. I don't even like leaving the res. I pity you guys living out there, you know. You know? But at least where you're living at least you got them.
Hey, we got a lot of Mexicans, you know. We got a lot
of you got Mexicans
Hills,
and
you know,
people
got,
like that around there.
Yeah.
But over here, Black Hills, you know, Mississippi of the North, man, nothing but Washichu up there. Man,
Texas
I can't believe it. You know,
that's what I'm saying. They're stealing all that land, and yet. Look at what our tribal council is doing over there. Oh, well, we got to, you know, shit. They put a Washita woman in charge of a lawyer, in charge of everything. She even bosses Mario Gonzalez around, you know. You know, it's laughable, you know. It's shameful as hell the way they do things. These, you know, they're destroying us. We got no leadership.
Yeah.
Then when you try to step up and do something, you're going against the law, you know. Look at now, you can't even protest at the building, the tribal building, because they made a law. They made it a federal crime if you do that. That's since that time, June Mill took over that building. No.
Remember, what's his name?
People.
Little Jake Little burned the American flag in front of the tribal building. He promoted it. He promoted it. He thought he was going to get lots of people there to watch him burn the flag, you know, protest. And he said he was the only one there. Everybody ignored him. And then they made a law that you can't burn the flag.
Yeah. You know, that's what I mean. You know, that these people, you know, anytime something's done that's good, they go against their people and they make it, you know, like I say, to protest at the tribal building, nowadays it's a federal crime, you know, it's a felony. You know, and the Washita sit there and laugh because our own people are doing that to us. You know, they don't have to do shit. You know, they leave it up to these Indians, these so-called Wanobi Washita Indians to do this. You know, and those are the money-hungry people. See, to protect
the
Washita.
You see in the news. They gave a Lakota woman 18 months for grabbing an Indian cop by the balls.
Yeah, I mean,
I said, man, how many times did they grab me by the nuts, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, and then none of them got time, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hey, but Philip, your line's been open too, you know, just in case you want to jump in, you know, just letting you know. But
well, thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, well, I usually have you on. It's just, you know, I have
right.
to wait for a little opening
well,
because me and Bimbo, man, we got a lot of air.
There you go.
I was taking my cue from previous shows. You know, I had myself on mute because I was in the shower listening to you guys. I had Bluetooth speaker on, and I was just listening to you guys. I'm like, they're on a roll.
Man,
tonight.
That's cold blooded. You mean you was naked when you was listening to us? Damn.
Hey, I just got done working. I just got done working. I needed a shower.
Damn, Philip, I thought I was bad. I thought Larry was bad. We're tired.
Shit, you just made my ears turn red, Philip. You just made my ears turn red.
God, shit. At least me and Larry have ties on.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry's sitting there with his tie on and Yeah. You know, I got a bow tie on tonight.
Yeah, what's his name? Shit, I'm still down there. He hasn't promoted me yet, so I still got a bow tie on. Said I got a lot to learn yet.
Yeah. Now Philip got me tripping, you know.
Hey, Philip started it, not me.
At least we just had a show. Hey, Philip was stark naked, mind you.
Yeah, it was Philip. I didn't do it this time, Crunchy. Blame it on Philip.
That's a. I remember my mom said that. What's that? It's stark naked, mind you. Philip was stark naked, mind you, and we was on the radio show. He was tuned in, you know. But, yeah. Anyway, I'll get that visual out of my mind here, and we can move on a little. That's like somebody sitting on the pot listening to a toilet, you know, hearing a toilet flush, you know.
No, that's actually worse.
Yeah. They don't want to miss the show, so they're on the pot while they're tuned in, you know. You know, I was tripping you know, like they don't have the mask thing, that governor, that, what's her name? The one that looks like a erection, all the veins on her. Christy Noem. Christy Noem. Yeah. She made it where people don't need to wear masks. So, well, she just don't wear no masks, you know. Shit, I said, shit, we went in there, we was wearing masks, you know, because I don't want to catch none of their stuff, you know. So
yeah,
up there in that place, I was wearing a mask, you know, and a baby girl and Natasha, everybody was wearing a mask, you know. But the thing is, they don't wear no masks. I went into the cop station. See the treasurer, and they ain't even wearing no masks, you know. I said, and they're the ones, they say Rapid City's got a lot of cases of COVID, you know. So... Wow. That's one reason why I wanted to get the hell out of here, you know, get the hell out of there, you know, get back on the res. I was all happy to see them bushy headed Lakota at the COVID station, you know, but, you know, I think about there, how they live up there in our Black Hills in Washichu. Sturgis, up there, Custer, and all them. Man, you know, them Washichu are some funky people. And, man, it's a wonder that they're up there this long, you know? And I sure hope something happens in the future where they get ran out, you know, some kind of way, you know? That history repeats itself, because they say history repeats itself. I'm going to turn on, you know, it looks like Henny's here.
All right.
Oh, my God, you unmuted me?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you are. There you are.
Hey, Henny.
Yep.
Hey.
I haven't heard that in a long time since I used to watch Bugs Bunny. Hello, folks.
That's ages ago.
Shit, that was back in the 50s, you know?
No, that's not awful.
Yeah, I'm just seasoning, Annie, you know. That's good to hear you, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, you know how we are. We always in a teasing mood, you know.
Yeah, what's happening,
Annie?
Well, I don't know. I just want to, you know, you mentioned COVID there, and I just want to mention something. You know, my brother Bruce caught COVID, and he didn't feel good, and he was driving to Rapid City. So he got tested up there, and he called me. He said, I got tested for COVID. So I said, well, you better get yourself some ivermectin. And he goes, yeah, I sent Jeremiah, you know, to go get some. So anyway.
To get some what?
I said, ivermectin. And so I called him. I called him Thursday, and I said, call FLCCC Alliance. There's doctors on there that prescribe ivermectin. So he kind of blew me off, and then Saturday he called me. He already had brain fog. He called me. He said, hey, none of those doctors are answering. I said, Bruce, it's the weekend. So Monday morning he tried it, and you know, I kept calling him every day to see how he was. Monday morning he called FLCC, and he finally got a hold of a doctor. So they prescribed him ivermectin, and they kind of like gave him a lot because of how many days had lapsed. And, you know, for sure I thought he'd end up on a ventilator. But anyway, the pharmacy in Walmart would not fulfill the prescription on a Monday. So Bruce had to wait till Tuesday to call the doctor back, and the doctor called him. And finally Wednesday they got ivermectin, so he went over there. Before 24 hours was out, he was feeling better. And then my sister-in-law and my nephew also caught it, you know, shortly after. And they didn't have to take as much as ivermectin as Bruce had, because Bruce was like 7 days into the infection. And so, you know, those, my sister-in-law and my nephew cleared up right away. And, you know, they're really denouncing ivermectin on the news. And, you know, they're saying it's, you know, for horses. But they did make a pill for the humans to take. And, you know, it treats like malaria. And I can't remember what it treats, but this pill was made like in the early 80s by Merck. And so anyway, and I've been watching it for about the past year and a half, you know, watching people that do studies on it. And so anyway, then my other cousin in Scotts Bluff, she caught COVID, and I told her what to do too, but she received a phone call right after I hung up from her, and they gave her, she was eligible to take the Regeneron infusion. And she sounded just as bad as my brother did. So anyway, within a couple of hours, she started clearing up too. And you know something, this pisses me off, because our Indian hospitals have to go by the federal guidelines, and all that they say is, you know, okay, you test it positive, go home. If you get sick, come back. When you get sick and come back, you're being shipped off to somewhere. So that, yeah. I mean, we need to,
you know,
get alternative medicine.
Bruce don't smoke, though, does he?
No, he don't.
Yeah. You know, I tell you this, Henny, I just lost a relative a couple weeks ago. His whole family caught COVID, you know, and he died. His family, you know, kids and everybody lived. But, you know, this guy was a pothead. He always smoked pot and always was, you know, talking about how great pot was and all that. But you know what? When you catch COVID, you better not be smoking cigarettes or pot or inhaling nothing, because you got to share your lungs with that COVID. COVID takes half your lungs right off the get-go. So if you're sharing it with pot and then the other, so you probably only got 25% breathing capabilities. And that's what kills people, man, you know? And,
you know, I'm a smoker, and you know, I keep everybody out of the house. Basically, I don't let anybody in, and I'm very careful. You know, if I have to go to the store, you know, I do wash my hands, wipe off my face, and everything with alcohol pads. But it's just the ideal of, you know, there's remedies out there, and the federal government isn't acknowledging it. And I want to say this too. You know, Merck made ivermectin, and now Merck's coming out with a pill that they're pretty sure that will cure people of COVID. So I think, and it's going to cost more. Ivermectin, that pill, it only costs like, I think Bruce said 39 cents. But then when Merck comes out with this new pill, I bet you it's going to go sky high because of the goddamn greed, I should say.
39 bucks. Pay
39 cents.
No, I said they'll jack it up to 39 bucks.
Yeah.
You know, I'd buy 18 bucks. Heck, you know. Yeah, I just don't want to get sick, you know, so I'm, you know, keep away from that. But, you know, I feel bad when people, like do catch it, you know. And,
yeah.
You know.
So just keep that in mind, you know, FLCC Alliance, keep that in mind. If anybody gets it, you know, call them. They'll issue you ivermectin.
You know, you should inbox me that, you know, in Facebook.
Yeah.
Inbox me that.
Yeah.
I forget it, you know. When you get my age, man, my memory's only 1 second.
Get it off C note. Get it off C note and go to D note.
CRS. That's a disease.
Get it off Zeno.
CRS.
Z-note.
Oh, Zeno. Zeno's a what?
No, get it off C note. You know, A, B, C, D. Your guitar player, C note. C note.
Oh, okay. C.
Casino.
C note.
Okay. Yeah, Zeno. Get it off C note and go to
Zeno. I was thinking, shit, what's Zeno dealing now? Zeno in the pharmaceutical, huh? That's my bro. I love him to death. You know?
What kind of weed pills is he selling now? These fellas are pharmacy now, huh?
Yeah.
Dr. Zeno.
Yeah. I'll call him up right after the show. Yeah, okay, I got you. C note.
And go to D note.
Yeah. Well, you know how us Indians are. We hear everything wrong, you know. I shouldn't just say Indians. One time the Swashichu was putting rocks inside the sweat lodge, and they were sitting in there, and he had the coals on there. So he said, the coals. They told him, he said, what? So take off the coals, you know, before he puts the rocks in. So he disappeared for a little while, and then all of a sudden he came Pachola, butt naked. He said, take your clothes off. Take the clothes off. You know? What's she doing? Wear your pale butt, too, in the light of the fires.
Yeah, that would have been a good one to see.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, that's good information though, Henny. Glad you mentioned that. You know, people need to have all kinds of remedies because, you know, we're Indians. We ain't Washichu. We don't have a system like everybody else, you know?
Yep. I have a cousin that's a nurse. Every time I blog on Facebook about ivermectin, and my cousin nurse, you know, says people are idiots if they don't get the shot, and, you know, just kind of degrades it. And, you know, one time she told me I wasn't a doctor and I shouldn't be saying stuff like that. But it's just the ideal, you know. She's hooked on the holy gospel of these pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. We hear the news so much, people hear it, they start believing everything they hear, you know? And, you know, we can't do that because we have different system, different metabolism, different everything. You know, it's like beer. If I drink one beer, I'll be like Philip. I'll be Hachola. You know, one beer will do that to me, you know. But some guy can drink a whole six-pack. Some guy can drink two six-packs. Some people can drink wine and still run around sober, but don't give me and my brother no wine.
The green is a...
Yeah. I could tell when my brother had some wine because he'd comb his hair like in the front like Elvis, you know.
So looking sharp.
Yeah. start walking with his hand kind of wrist bent, you know.
Yeah. There you go.
Looking cooler than hell. You know, but now yeah. I'm just teasing my brother, you know. He never touched no wine. Yeah, but back in the day, we was all into all that stuff. But, you know, I was thinking if they had that COVID when we was young, huh? You know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have cared about it. They wouldn't, yeah. You know, if that came around back in the day, shit, they wouldn't have cared about the Indians. You know, look at all the shit that came through there. That killed a bunch of Indians, you know.
Yeah.
If it came when we was young, they wouldn't even give a shit. They probably, you know, when I think about it, they probably would have tested a lot of these medicines out on us back then, you know, which they did, you know.
Because the Indians like to share. Testing.
Yeah.
You know, if he's drinking a soda out of a bottle, he'll say, "Here, want some?" You just take it and drink. You know,
you know,
cigarettes. Here, you want a hit? Just smoke it. Even with pot or anything, wine. You know,
yeah,
be 10
matter,
guys on one bottle of wine. You know, sharing it.
Sharing the jug. You know.
Yeah, sharing that jug, even yeah. When you're huffing.
Yeah. With gold lips.
Yeah. Yeah. Sharing that sock.
Neither fluid.
Yeah. You know.
Sure,
but you know. You know, it's kind of a trip how we are with each other. We're still like that. We still share and things, you know.
Yeah.
You know, give me a bite of that sandwich, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we just share. We don't think nothing of it. But, you know, they got all these diseases and stuff out there right now. Man, you know,
man.
I'm glad them Washichu are racist. You know, it makes them stay away from us.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They stay away from us, and that's fine with me. I don't care. Shit, they could all stay there. They could all pull up to hell home. I don't care.
Yeah. Mm.
That's,
yeah,
you know, cause
by them being racist, that's protection on us, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because we ain't sharing those pop with them. you know, our sitting here sharing a jug with them. We're sitting there with all Indians sharing the jug, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
No Washington's allowed.
Yeah. You know, but it's all right if they're racist. They can stay on that side over there. We'll be on this side, you know. After, like right. I said, just going up there, I forgot what is, you know, I've been away from town for so long, mainly because I'm broke and then this COVID and all this stuff going on. I've been staying away from the city. I don't even like going to Valentine, you know. But yeah. Went up there to Rapid, man, I tell you what, I said, she, you know. I couldn't believe how much Rosita you are up there, all over the place, you know. I passed by a Chinese restaurant. That looked more like Peckerwood restaurant, you know. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? It's like,
hey, you know,
it's like
country, they must have got their lease money.
I'm telling you, I went into Golden Corral, and usually I go look for the Indian section. You know how Indians got their own section? But there was no section. Both sides were full of cowboy hats, you know.
Man.
Cowboy hats and John Deere hats, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, sitting there picking their teeth, you know, over there, you know, picking at their food and farting at the salad bar and blowing their nose and everything, you know.
There's some good people over there.
Yeah, so ate real quick and we hauled ass out of there, you know. But like I said, even Walmart was jam-packed, you know. They must have got some money from someplace. Maybe the tribe sent them all a check.
Yeah, they're COVID. They probably got COVID relief from the tribe. Henny, what did they ever do about that, about those cows and stuff that they're feeding and whatever else they're doing with the cowboys on the rest?
Well, I think I kind of put Mike to the skids there.
Oh, yeah?
Because, you know, he isn't talking that much about, you know, the ranchers, at least this last meeting. And actually, you know, it wasn't this round of check. It was the last round of check. The ranchers got money from the last monies because they owned a business. It was a business. I just kind of threw that out there again this round, you know.
You
that.
Mean if somebody owns a business, they get more money?
That was during the last round of monies. But this round of monies, it's supposed to be investment on the res, so they're trying to build new cap centers in all the districts that kind of like has a gym and whatnot in them. And then they're talking about building a new. This is really dumb because they're talking about building a new building, where they could put the BIA in there also. So they want to know what the BIA is charging for square footage. I mean, they should have that calculated already. You know, okay, this is what we're charging for square footage, but they're waiting for BIA to give them a price. I think they're kind of like backwards, you know.
They are, you know, that's something that they should put they should make the charge and put it on them. You know, that's how our teachers do it.
Yep. You want to rent a building, you got to pay the price.
Yeah, that's, you know, and you know, the BIA has their own money. And that's what I was saying, these ranchers and farmers that are getting money from the tribe, shit, the government just gave them a big old subsidy check. You know, they subsidize all these ranchers and farmers. Especially for this COVID, why are these tribes with the Unshika people taking care of some sons of bitches that are getting, you know, a lot of money from the federal government? You know, that's it doesn't make any sense. The tribal council to me is, man, they're destroying us big time. Like this health care that you talk about, shit, we're the only people. We're the only tribe ever to put health, education, and welfare in our treaties, and they plagiarized it. And nobody says nothing about that, you know. And it was tested back in the Depression, and it was successful. That's why they still hung on to it, you know. And we were supposed to get health care, the best health care. What happened to all of that? Our tribal council is sitting there doing nothing to help us out. Why do we have to go through all these, like he was saying, shit, we should have our own, we should be making our own drugs there on the reservation for our people, you know, instead of, you know, begging some other guy, oh, ivermectin, all this other shit, you know, it should be done there on the reservation. But yet, that's the BIA controls all of that. That's why it's the way it is. And to us,
you know,
the federal government still sees us as incompetent people. That's what the BIA was formed for, is because we was incompetent to handle our affairs. That's why they made the BIA. So where's all these educated Indians now?
You know, the thing about it is Mike Carlo brought it up, you know, anyway, the BIA was going to raise the rent for, you know, us individual owners. And anyway, so Mike Carlo brought it up that that the BIA shouldn't, and that the tribal government needs to write a letter to them stating that not to raise the leases. So, you know, I blogged on that saying, you know, Mike has no business telling the BIA that they can't raise my lease for me. I said, over tribal land, they own, that's the only thing they have a say-so over. Anyway, I didn't put it in those words, but, you know, there's a little bit more narrative about it. So here, the next meeting, then Mike, you know, they kind of like reneged on telling the BIA to keep the lease rate at the same. And I'm going to go over there. I'm handing out flyers to different people that I know are landowners and at least they're down to the BIA and saying, hey, we could, you know, even ask for more because we're the owners and the BIA has to uphold what we ask for.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Henny,
I wanted to ask you, last week we was talking about you know, them with the cows on the res and all that, all the cows that are on our res, and how come the tribe don't make them shell out their meat for the people, you know?
So this is,
we got
this
all
is,
kinds
is,
of, go ahead.
When we had that first round of monies, then, you know, I was pricing cows, and they was at an all-time low. So I wrote something up, you know, we could have purchased 150 head of cattle for $150,000. And anyway, our tribal council didn't do it. And there was a girl out to Oglala that said, Henny, if it goes through, if you're looking for land, you could, you know, run them on my land as long as it's for the people. So I said, okay. I said, but tribal council rejected it. And what they turned around and did, Chauncey Wilson, basically, he said that the local butchers here, the local meat market stores, can purchase cattle from these guys, you know, the local ranchers, and butcher them. Okay, so one girl, you know, I've been pricing it and, you know, letting people know what prices I'm finding out that they're selling halves or quarters for. And so anyway, one girl called me up and said, well, that Elizabeth May is buying cattle from these ranchers around here, and the meat sky high out in Kyle.
Yep.
So, you know, she's interested in what I'm doing on the research as far as that goes. And you know something, it is higher than supermarket prices, because what's killing it is when they take it to the butcher charges anywhere from $1 to $2 a pound to cut. So it's going to be higher than the supermarket stores.
Yeah.
Well, how much is hamburger in the store?
I think it was four something a pound,
$4.23
or something. And then these guys, these independent ranchers, by the time they get their thing and whatnot, anyway, it holds out to about $5 a pound. But tonight I did find someone in Hay Springs that's reasonable. A quarter is like $425. And I have to pay the butcher's fee, which is 60 cents a pound. And that ain't bad. And plus, I have to pay the kill charge. So he charges 170 for the kill, and that's divided into four ways. So what
Why don't
does
you
is
just take it home and butcher it yourself?
That's what I asked him. And he said, no, we can't do that. I asked the person that owns the cattle. They said, that's against the government restrictions. We have to take them to the meat locker. I said, okay.
Hell, you should have told him, man, I need that big quarter because I got an oven that big. I'm going to make some roast, you know?
Yeah.
I need to have a whole quarter.
I'll just say roast everything up for me.
Yeah. But, you know, they got all kinds of little scams, you know, charging you for the butcher, charging you for the this and charging you for that, you know? And they're running all this cattle on our land. They're drinking our water. That's why you can't even swim in Rosebud Dam no more, because the cows funkied up the springs that feed Rosebud Dam. And kids were getting sick, infections. So they shut it down. because of all the livestock that runs on our reservation, you know, all over.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even get none of that hamburger. We don't even get Taniga out of them, you know.
You guys have your own cattle too, whereas we don't. And so I'm wondering how come your tribe don't issue up, you know, cattle to you guys.
You know what? The tribal ranch, now you have to beg them if you have a funeral. Before, if you had a funeral or some event, they would shout out, you know. And that was it. They even got a big buffalo ranch. But it's all business. They ain't giving us nothing. They'd rather sell the buffalo, get the money off it, and spend it on their own house, their own propane or whatever, you know. And the same way with the ranch. You know, it's hard to get anything out of the tribe. That buffalo, we used to be able to go over there when we have a wake or some event, they will shell out. But they never just shell out for the hell of it, you know. They don't say, okay, here's a pound of meat or 10 pounds of a tribal member or something. You know, they don't do that, you know. Sure, we get in commodities, we get a little buffalo meat or a little this and that, but that ain't coming from our ranch. That's coming from the government some kind of way.
You know, Tanshi, these people that, you know, like a lot of these Washichus out here, it's, you know, where before they get one, these calves that are born, you know, and that's how they do it. But yet back home, the BIA charges rock bottom prices for these leases, you know, and then to deal with the leaser one-on-one, they don't allow it, see. And the tribe is for that, see. That's what holds us, you know, there's so much wrong with that tribal council. And that's why we say, get rid of it, you know, start over. Let's go back to the old system. Nobody wants to do it. They're all money hungry. These people sitting in these offices, there's just a few of them. They're all money hungry. And like she was saying, Carlo, the reason why he's trying to hang on to that is because he uses Indian preference to pay rock bottom prices. And he could outbid a lot of these guys that will pay good lease money. But he doesn't want to pay that. See? And there's a lot of schemes that go on inside that tribal council. They're lining people's pockets, or there's a rip-off here, rip-off. So they all cover each other. They all have each other's backs. So nobody could penetrate that. And the BIA protects the world.
Hey, don't use that word, penetrate.
Here we go again.
the only big words we know, huh?
That's a good one. No, it's true. Most of the tribal council. But you know, when are the Indians gonna wake up? You know, there's more white people that are putting stuff out there. You know, I just seen a thing about that Trail of Tears. It was a Washita woman that had this big old deal on what they did, what Jackson and them guys did to the Native Americans in the East there. It was a Washita woman that put it out there saying how wrong it was. You know, these Indians live it. They know it. But yet, our own people, our own leadership makes it illegal for us to do things like that. You know, and they'll run over you by telling lies, by spreading lies, just to keep you silent. You know, there was a Washita woman, I should have shared it, but I didn't. But she put how they wronged the Indians during those marches, the Trail of Tears. She had this big old deal about the Trail of Tears on the internet. And it's a Washita woman putting this out there, saying how wrong it was for the Washitas to do this to the original owners of this land, how they stole the land from these Indians. You know, and it's a Washita woman doing this. Where is all the Indians that lived it? You know, Then when you say something about her, I used the treaty. I won this case. I won the, you know, that's self-gain. Like I was saying, look at this Tilson. Sells out to, you know, instead of worrying about the land. And that would have been a good case. But yet, he sold out for what? Probation? You know, something's going on there. And you know, it's, to me, these guys that could do something, sell out right quick, you know, right quick. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't seem right. And our tribal council, who is supposed to be representing us, where in the heck are they? I don't hear nothing about these guys out here, nothing, unless it's bad. Even a dog agrees with me. That dog agrees with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dog's smart.
Yeah. He said, right on, bro.
Yeah, shit, he's backing me up, man, you know. But that's, you know, think about that. When are the Indians or the people of the real people of America going to wake up and stand together on these issues? You have a white woman, a Washita woman, putting on this big old thing about how land was stolen from these Native Americans and how it wasn't right. And she had a big old, I don't know, there was what, she had 300,000 people that was looked at this thing, you know. That alone ought to tell you something about what this Washita woman did. See, where's all these atrocities that were committed against Indians? The Holocaust. These Indians pay more attention to what Hitler did to these Jews than they do their own people. You know, they worship these holidays. They do all these ease of them. We're backwards. We're destroying ourselves. The Indian is the Indian's greatest enemy because of the BIA. And that's what I'm saying. They said the Indians were, Native Americans were incompetent to handle their affairs. So the BIA was formed. Where's all our educated people now to get rid of that, to stand on our own? It doesn't exist, you know. Look at this. Look at these cops. They hire BIA cops. They bring them from all over. You know, some of the most racist people, these cops, they bring them. That's the cavalry. They bring them from other places to keep us oppressed. You know, giving speeding tickets. You know, these Indians, they can't pay $200 ticket, but that's what they give them, you know. And either they sit in jail or they have a warrant, you know, one of the two. And most of them figure out a way to work through the warrant, you know. And that's what I'm saying. When are the Indians going to wake up? That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, come on, you guys. You know, it's not just the Sioux or the Lakota. It's all the Indians in the United States. When are we going to wake up and say, hey, enough is enough? Where's our fair share? How come we're the most overlooked people here when we own this land and it was stolen from us? You know, like I say, Washita woman puts it out there. She got 300 and some thousand views. You know, it's crazy. You know, where's our leaders? Where's our tribal council? Why are they sucking eggs to the BIA? Where's this? You know, like Mario Gonzalez is always mouthier now. Oh, I'm a tribal lawyer. I've been, you know, protecting the tribal. He doesn't work for the people. He works to protect the tribal council members, the ones on the council. He has nothing to do with us as members. But yet he claims to be a tribal lawyer. All these lawyers, there's a Washita woman handling that case up in Rapid City for that land up there. How come these people that discovered that, these homeless people, how come it's not theirs? How can this Washita woman get in there and do the negotiations with Rapid City? She's going to sell us out because she's a Washita.
Maybe because she got penetrated.
There you go. 2 inches.
Oh, 2 inches. Anyway, you know, I got all your lines open. I got everybody's line open, so please don't fart at the salad bar.
I was wondering something. You know, isn't the tribal council responsible for creating jobs, economic growth for the nation? If that's the case, then why don't they open up their own butcher shop, employ people from the tribe, and teach them how to butcher? And then raise your own bison, put it on
it's
the open market.
Remember, we had our own slaughterhouse before.
Two of them.
But what happens is they call it out to Washichu all the time. Remember, Hanny, we had the slaughterhouse down in Gordon, you know.
So with the slaughterhouse, we bought it probably about five times throughout its history of being, you know, there. And each time we'd end up selling it. So I always thought that it was just a scheme to line someone's pockets. We would buy it and sell it, then buy it back and sell it.
But what I see is sometimes these Indians, they rub shoulders with the Washichi too much, so they get a grand idea. And that's how come they opened up Turtle Creek store over here. They had a grand idea to have an Indian store. Now it's a white guy owns it because they didn't know how to handle the store. It just was a grand idea. And they put the store right on Mission where they have other Washichu business. We can't compete with the Washichu. You know, they should put that store way out, you know, in the district someplace, you know. But our people get grand ideas and they don't know how to operate it. And the people that know how to operate these things, they won't let them in to operate. It's like the casino. You know, look how long the casino's been there. And none of these tribes, Rosebud, Pine Ridge, none of them's making money. But you go to other Indian rest, they're making money, and they got the mafia and all that running their casinos. Over here, you know, we got like Rosebud Casino. They closed for Christmas. You know, I mean, you don't close a casino for Christmas. You know, you don't. They got some weird habits, and they got a motel there. But if you're an Indian, they want to charge you a big fee because you might tear up the room. You know? They discriminate against Indians. And when we go into a casino, right away the security wants to show that they got some authority to shake down Indians. Won't shake the white guy down, but to shake the Indians down, you know? That's crazy stuff. Indians don't know how to run their business, and that's why we can't have our own butcher shop on the res. You know,
Bam has one here on the res, but he's kind of pricey also.
Feisty. Oh, pricey.
You know, yeah, something I heard about Bams was that he was taking a lot of the meat and not giving it to the people, but charging high price. That was kind of something that's what I was told at one time. But I don't know anything about it. I haven't dealt with him or anything, so I don't know.
Well, there's always a little truth to something, you know.
Yeah, they said that he wasn't giving them all the meat. He was keeping a lot of it for himself. You know, here and there, taking it.
He could keep all his meat.
You know, he was taking his issue on the side, I guess. But, you know, You're giving us the taniga again.
Everything thing you say, Tosh, it ain't coming out right. You know, he's giving all the meat. You know.
Yeah, dang, good. I mean, I didn't know my mind was that far in the gutter, man. Sorry about that, man. It's not the radio.
That's why I said I don't want none of his meat. You know? He could give that meat to the Washita. I don't care.
Kirsty, I think it's that elephant tusk that getting me.
Yeah. Eating ground up to elephant tusk.
I did talk to Bam's son, and because he cuts the meat off there, and I said, you know, I want to buy a Cadillac at Resto Auction. And I said, would you guys butcher it? And he said, yeah. So he said, 100 for the kill and 80 cents a pound to cut up. And so I said, well, what if you was to go over there and pick it up for me? He said, that'll be another $100. I said, well, what if I asked you to bid on a cow for me? I said, you can charge me another $100? He said, no. He said, I'll do that for free because I know what I'm looking for, what type of cow I need. You know, that's one thing about him, you know, his son was willing to go over there and get a beef for me, which probably would only cost me $500 to buy. But the processing of it would have been another $500. So that cow would have cost me $1,000.
Well, what if you just bought a cow and took it home, and then while it's in your backyard, you just butcher him up?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that know how to butcher around here. I was like, come help me butcher, and you could have half.
Yeah, Indians just use a chainsaw. I remember that one time two guys wrecked in the Porcupine Road. They hit about five or six cows out there. They both died. They were inside the car dead. Ambulance coming, and there was Indians out there with chainsaws chopping up while the ambulance and everything was there, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like them. He's worried about those guys dead. I'm getting my beef.
Yeah, they was out there sawing up. I said, man, I said, Indians are cold. They're like hyenas, you know.
They don't care about you. Yeah, it sounds like Lakota's, huh? That's the beauty of
that. But that's a good idea. We just need to buy a cow, and you gave me an idea. Just go buy a cow and butcher it.
You know, Toshi, you and Henny, you guys could, you know, go half and half on one, just butcher it yourself. You know, to keep the price down, halfing it up.
Oh, we could have did that. If Brown Boy and Junior and all those guys were young, we could have did that.
Yeah,
because here's the other thing. They have all these cows here. At least they should give the taniga up, you know, because you know Indians eat taniga, but the Washita throws it away, you know, and, you know.
Hot Springs used to do that back in the day. And what's her name? Bat Hardboo. She used to bring taniga down to the res and sell it for $5 a taniga, you know. But she was getting it in Hot Springs. And somehow, I don't know, some Washita complained about it. So the health department put a stop to it.
Yeah.
They didn't like the idea of her getting taniga free and then, you know, selling, you know, $5 ain't bad because that's gas money, you know what I mean? To run it to the red.
Just like Tahashi Zeno said, he went and bought some taniga from Safeway, and it was pure white and bleached.
Yeah.
So he said he went and got a road apple and throwed it in there and boiled it, you know, give it some flavor back.
Yeah. That's the way to do it, man. Keep the tradition alive.
Yeah, just boil it with a boil it with the cow turd in it and get some of the flavor back, you know.
Just take that sucker out and slap it on in one of the fresh ones and throw it in the pot.
Yeah. That's, how do you call it when you do a
flavor.
When you do meat marinated in
marinate
cow poop. Yeah, marinated cow poop. Get the flavor back, you know.
That's kind of sucky when the cow did it for you all its life. Then they blow it clean with Clorox, you know what I mean? It's not cool.
Oh, shit.
Shit, that cow
tastes like styrofoam after that, you know?
Can I ask Henny something real quick?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, Henny. Hi, this is the co-host. Do you know by accident, like, where to buy pork fat that you can render it yourself?
What about what?
A pork fat from a pork. The fat, so you for rendering that you can make lard. Do you know
my cousin Guppy knows where to buy, you know, a live pig and whatnot, and what he does during Ogallala Nation is he roasts the pig in the ground and he sells it. So his familiar with pork, and I just have to ask him.
Boy, you just slapped me with a mean hunger pain.
Because I was meeting up to make some more lard. Somebody gave me some fat, so I rendered it, and I made some pork lard and some crackling. Ooh, that was so good. Yeah.
Yeah, well, talking about roasting that old pig, man, just had my tongue start swinging, you know? When we get into the food part, man, you know? You know?
Had your tongue swinging, huh, Crunchy?
From ear to ear.
You know, you guys, I want to bring something else up. You know, Judge Viking is a federal judge. He's going to retire, and he wants a federal judge to be like him that's knowledgeable in Indian law, are Indians. So he
Who's that?
He is claiming Viking, Judge Viking. Okay, so basically the election complaint went before Judge Viking, last year sometimes? And the other day I finally got a notice he dismissed it because the tribal government is sovereign. And you know, I was thinking, geez, I didn't even get to go before him and present an argument or nothing. And, you know, same thing with our tribal Supreme Court. I didn't get to present an argument. So I was thinking, okay, but then, you know, I have that right to appeal if I want to. But I'm just going to let that part go, and I'm attacking them through those amendments that I wrote. And on Doksha Hour, when I was on there, there was something like 1,600 views when I was talking about the amendments. And so I'm going to focus on that, on changing the government to make it more people-orientated. And so right now it's under review with the BIA, the second review. And last time I, you know, just didn't cross my I's, dot my T's, basically. And some words were misspelled, like Wolfpay. I had it spelled two different ways. And so, you know, I cleaned that up, and I submitted it again for a review. And after that, I think I'm going to get signatures.
Yeah,
and
gotta go for it.
And at this point in time, you know, we're always putting down the BIA, but I'm glad the BIA is there this time, because they have to deal with mine first. They have to see it all the way through. Whereas it gives term limits. So what the IRA government did, they're trying to enter some amendments to give them 4 years. 4 year terms. And another one is to raise the lease, I think, to 25 years. And, you know, when Mike Carlo brought that up, he wasn't specific. He didn't say housing lease or, you know, ranching lease or farming lease. He just said raise the lease for 25 years. But, you know, something is such an idiot, because that's already been done in the, shit, I just had that act is a 2012 act. I can't remember what it is right now. The Bureau gave us the ability to raise the leases to 50 years without changing the Constitution.
Well, that's crazy.
So what's holding it up?
Anyway, I'm glad my mind don't go that way.
Yeah.
I'm glad my mind.
Here's that.
My mind is tribal free, government free, and it's all about traditional mind. You know, I don't care about the tribe, the government, or nothing. Our people need to learn how to live back, you know, without all that stuff. Because, you know, every time someone runs for a government office, they tell the same promise. They make up the same campaign speech, you know. You know, everybody makes the same thing, but look how long has it been going on? 50 years and it's the same. You know, nobody can make a change in any government. They can just brag about it. They can just, you know, talk about it. But when it comes time to doing it, how many of them ever made a change? Matter of fact, it got worse in the last 50 years. 50 years ago, the tribes had more stuff for the children. They had skating rinks. They had, you know, movie theaters, you know, going to, you know, all kinds of stuff happening. But now, heck, nothing. There's nothing happening with the tribe, you know. And I don't care who you vote to get in there. They're all going to screw it up unless you get in there, Annie. I'm for you, you know. But
Richard, these amendments give, like, each district gets to select who sits on the Treaty Council. And that's never been done before because it's always been selected by the IRA government. And then they turn out to be pro-Mario Treaty Council. So, and they're going to oversee the tribe. So, like, if I had a complaint on, let's say, Mike Carlo, it would be the Treaty Council to hear that complaint. And the Treaty Council, and I explained it to some guys, you guys are supposed to, the Treaty Council will be looking out for our trust responsibilities. So if the IRA government doesn't review these 638 contracts, I could enter a complaint on, let's say, Coral Whiting because they didn't review the courthouse contract for like 20 years. So I have a complaint on Cora. So I would go before the Treaty Council and plead my case, and they would determine whether or not Cora still sits on council. And I'm hoping from there it'll spin off. And people will write a constitution that's more orientated towards our nativeness.
Well, you know, it's been fun, but pretty soon we'll be saying, that's all, folks. what I was going to say was, in my view, we have a big world out there that we're up against. We're up against white supremacy big time. You know, how is the tribe and Treaty Council helping us with white supremacy? They ain't helping us. You know, nowadays, if you say something about another color of people right away, your own tribe starts getting on your case because we got mixed breeds all over the place, and they all get offended. Oh, don't talk about whites. Don't talk about blacks. Don't talk about Asians. Well, we're not talking about them, but the fact is, out there in the world, we have big time people out there running over our lands and our rights and everything. I don't see the tribe helping us fight for no rights. I don't see the Treaty Council out there standing up when we're out there doing stuff. Our people do stuff on their own, you know. Even like Standing Rock and different things like that, it was people that made a issue out of it. But the only time somebody from a treaty council or a tribal government will get involved in something, if he's going to be put in the paper or something, or he gets to show his face that he's for something, you know. But we got a big, we got white supremacy out there. Like I said, yeah, just going to wrap it. We got white supremacy out there against us. We can't even get business deals, car deals, or nothing going on out there. We can't even drive down the road without white racist road rage. You know, we got big troubles out there, and not once do these tribal governments. It looks like when a person's got tribal mentality, their mind is just in the tribe, but it's not out there in the world. You know, and we're out here fighting the whole world. The whole world is infringing on our, like, Rapid City. That's treaty land. But they're up there just, you know, running wild. Mm-hmm. The police are up there. Christy Noem. All these people telling us how to live. I don't see our tribal government out there doing nothing.
Exactly.
You know? That's why I don't care about no tribal government or BIA or all that. I look at our people, our activists, our radical people that are out there trying to make changes, you know, to stand up to racism and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, Annie, got any last comments? Don't say that's all folks yet.
Oh, y'all, but it's been great to hear all y'all chuckling and telling your nasty little jokes.
Hey, those are nasty jokes. Those are real. I mean, they're real, man.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, my finger's pointing towards Denver.
Which finger?
My brother's sitting there with one hand pointed this way and one hand pointed that way. He's pointing at me and Bimber. You know? Yeah. But you know, that's what happens when we learn a big word, Annie. We don't learn to, you know. It's just like the biggest word we use on this radio show now is penetration and masturbation and, you know. You know, hey, we're getting up there in the big words, you know.
Yeah. You know, hey, Tushy, speaking of this, like I was saying, you know, when are all these Indians going to wake up and ask for the same thing? Where's our lease money? Where's our money for all that you stole? And yet a Washita woman is putting it out there, and she's getting 300 and some thousand views. You know, where's all these guys? Where's the tribal councils? Where's the treaty councils? Where's all these guys that are supposed to be in it for Indian causes? But yet a Washita woman puts it out there, you know, and she's getting all the attention.
Yep.
And that's why I say, when are all of us Indians? It doesn't matter where you're from. We're people of this country. They own the Hampelo. We're from here. We never floated in on a ship. All these other people have. But yet we can't even get them to give us lease money. What's up with that?
Yep.
That doesn't pertain to just one tribe. It's all these Indians in the United States. I hate saying Indians, but all these Lakotas in the United States. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, and like I say, if they were going to do, tribal councils were going to do something, they would have did it already. If these treaty councils were going to do something, they would have did it already. None of them represent the Unshika people, the real people of this so-called United States. I think we're all going to have to do it ourselves, you know. And heck with this tribal stuff. We're all from here. And we didn't float in on a ship, like I say. So we're all going to have to start doing it. And asking these Peckerwoods, where's our lease money? When are we going to get? Look at the Black Hills. all these Peckerwoods are up there. Their governor, all these Washitos are protecting them while they're living on stolen land. I feel like a Palestinian in my own country.
Look at Pennington County. Where's that at?
Yep.
And they got the police up there bullying people,
Yeah.
Now, the hospital, that hospital killing Indians in there,
Putting KKK on them.
Yep. And
nobody's done anything. Look at those kids that got beer spilt on them by a coach. Watch me, your coach. Nothing ever came of that. He walked. He had the police and the highway patrol surrounding his house because he was getting death threats from little kids, little native kids. The tribal council, nobody did anything for those little kids. Then they talk about the future or our future generations, Come on, man,
Hey, that guy, plus that guy that did that, the first thing he said was he had the Christians over there saying he's from our fellowship,
Yeah, yep.
He's a good man. His family goes to church every Sunday as their church, But we could get off into that. Hey, I was going to tell Layla, give us some feedback real quick.
Many blessings, Bonnie. You're my brothers and sisters, and I hang on every word.
Yeah. We don't have to. Yeah, that's good, I like to talk from the heart, I like to penetrate. Anyway, Philip, you got any last comments? I hope you got your clothes on too.
Really? Yeah, I do.
Did you close yourself?
For a really, really great show. It's good to hear everybody again, and you all have a good weekend. What's left of it?
At least you can tell us you got them on.
Make it sound good, Philip.
I got him on.
There you go.
Go ahead, Henny.
Okay, wintertime's coming up, and I hope you guys shingle your handicap wrap, whoever has one. Put shingles on it. Those handicap wraps are slippery.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good idea. And
I just finished shingling mine today.
And don't be following cars so closely. This guy was following a truck too close, and a two fell off one in his windshield and killed him in the East Coast. I see people doing that all the time. Yeah. Don't follow me. No telling what can fall off of my car.
The red, man.
But hey, Vember, go ahead and take us a prayer out. And Annie, I'll let you send the going out. That's all, folks. You can do that.
Aloha. That's all, folks.
I like the way Annie says it, But anyway, I thank you all for being here, and thank Walking Bear for tuning in, and who's ever was in the chat, and people around the world, and across the country that's tuned in, and thank you all. And we better head out. Dokshake.
Dokshake.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.